thanks for listening to another episode of Project Zion. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts the Restoration offers for today's world. Project Zion is sponsored by the Latter-day Seekers team from Community of Christ.
Hello, and welcome to the Project Zion podcast. My name is Carla Long, and I'm excited to welcome Alfredo Zelaya Martinez. Oh, that is so fun to say. Welcome to the show, Alfredo.
Hi, Carla. Thank you for having me on.
And now, Alfredo has been working on a really cool project for Community of Christ, and I can't wait for him to tell us about it. But first, Alfredo, tell us who you are, what you do, where you live, all that stuff.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll give you the short version. I was born in El Salvador, moved to Canada when I was 12, and I've been living in Toronto here for the last 33 years or so. And I'm a full-time minister for Community of Christ here in Canada, Canada East Mission. And formerly, I was a pastor for the Toronto congregation. And before that, I was a principal and a school teacher for about 15 years.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you taught school. What did you teach?
In elementary school, you kind of do the whole gamut of courses. And actually, when I first started, it was a grade 3-4 class. And I taught all the courses. And then my niche ended up being the 7 and 8 class. Because at that point, you can talk to them and kind of do those things. My worst days were when I was a principal and the kindergarten teacher was away. I was a substitute teacher, and those kids did not listen to me. They just wanted to hug me all day.
Oh, well, you are awfully huggable. That's true. You know, I might be a little biased because I was a school teacher before I was a minister too, but I think it is an excellent training ground to become a minister, starting with teaching first.
Yeah, most definitely.
Because you're okay talking in front of people and, you know, you're okay with being hugged all the time, all that stuff.
Yeah. Actually, that was the only thing that caused me stress, and it still does. So I went from being a school teacher principal to a minister, and it was one of my most discomfortable moments. It's just being up front. And it still is. So although we're kind of – you just got my voice, I'm a little nervous. So it's part of that whole stage thing.
Oh, I understand. But no need to be nervous. It's only a couple hundred, maybe thousand, million people are going to be listening. Don't worry, Alfredo. It's fine. So, Alfredo, I'm really excited to hear about this ministry. I actually know very little about Community Place, and I can't wait to hear about it. So what is Community Place?
Well, you know, that's it's always a difficult question to answer because people often ask, what is Community Place? And it's hard to explain simply because – you know, like when you hear about people in Community of Christ traveling the world or going, you know, from the U.S. to Canada or even within the U.S., and one of the things they say is, you know, wherever I go, I always feel like part of the family. When I go to the congregation or I stay with this host family, and I felt like I've known them for years. And when you talk to people about that experience who are not Community of Christ, they don't really understand. They're like, yeah, people are nice. But it's one of those things that you really have to experience it to understand. And Community Place is the same thing. But let me give you a little bit of background, kind of where the program originated or the idea came from. About it's 10 years ago now. In 2007, we were asked, my partner and I, Tiona, were asked to take over the senior high camping program. And we had been part of that for some years before that. I did my 5 years as a camper and then continued to be on staff. So at that point, it was something like 15 years I've been on staff and as a camper. And one of the things that I noticed was that there was this constant decline. And so when I was a camper, we had two senior high camps running here in Canada East Mission. And each of the camps had about 100 campers and staff, maybe a little more, a little less. And it's always how it was. But slowly, that started to change. And by the time I was finished being a camper and started being a staff, one of the camps ended up closing, and they amalgamated the camps. So, you know, we had gone from a camp, two camps of, in total of about 200. And now we're just about 100, but now it's the two camps together. And that continued on. And so in 2007, by the time my wife, Tiona, and I were asked, we had, the first year we started it, we had 34, and that's campers and staff. And Carla, I had to beg staff to come on.
Oh, no.
Because we needed staff to kind of do the camp. And immediately we knew, kind of going into that, that things had to change. And one of the things that we didn't want to change was the ministry part of it. You know, all the years that I was a camper and staff, and we had experiences that you would say changed your life. Campers would share how this was an amazing experience. But for some reason, we didn't retain them. They just didn't come back. You know, over the years, the number of years that I explained there, we had probably over 1,000 kids go through the program. And I could count in one hand how many people were still involved in the church from when I was a camper. And that was sad for me. And so, and Tiona had similar experience as well. So we said, you know, whatever we do here, we got to make some significant changes. And so we came up with this concept of community building, being part of the community. And, you know, we look at what is it that we do here, and we're followers of Christ, and what's Christ's principal message, and we feel that's love. And so we need to figure out how do we express that in different ways. And so one of the elements was that when you come to camp, there was this responsibility you have for the person next to you, that we all belong to this community, and that God wanted us to take care of each other. And so when we have successes or failures, we know that we are responsible for each other. And so that was one of the key elements. The other one was about ownership, that, you know, as you take care of one another, there's also this community that belongs to you, and you have to invest into it. And so the camper's mindset had to change from, I'm a camper, I'm receiving, and that's kind of what my role is here, to now you're a participant of this community. And whether you're staff or you're camper, you have responsibility and ownership to it. And so, you know, we found immediate success with that. People really latched onto that concept. And we also added a few things like leadership development. We promised them that them being part of this community also meant that we were going to provide skill training for them that would help them personally in the relationship, so that, you know, how to have healthy relationships, because this is the time of life where they're in that adolescence, they're trying to find out about girls and boys and their sexuality and all that kind of stuff. So we want to equip them to be prepared with that and be successful at it. We want to give them skills that would translate from the camp experience there to when they go and apply for school or jobs. They need references and they can be provided. And so all those things kind of were packaged. And, you know, slowly we saw the first year, I mentioned we had about 34. We quickly doubled and then doubled. And then we hit a plateau, and we're still kind of there. And, you know, we hit about 150, 160. But one of the beautiful things is that we noticed that one of the reasons people weren't coming back is that life just ate them up. You know, they either went to university, we never saw them again. They hit rough patches in their lives, we never saw them again. And so all those things are factors that we need to kind of to address. And one of the ways to do that is to figure out, so we had this amazing experience, life-changing experience, 1 week of the year. How do we do that all year round? And that was kind of after 5 years of having kind of this successful program, saying, what's the next step? And that's where the group of young leaders just kind of said, you know, we need to do something more. And Ken Barrows was their Mission Center president back in those days. He's now in Australia as the Mission Center president. And he always had this concept, this idea of a camping congregation. And so that's kind of what we looked at and said, hey, you know, it hasn't been developed. We don't really know all the details, but let's develop that. And you know, a group of young adults kind of got together with us and said, let's do this. And we called it Community Place. So Community Place is this effort to try to bring the ministry, the experiences, the love of God that happens in that week at camp to be all year round. And so that, you know, in essence, that's kind of what community place is.
Wow. So what you're saying and what I'm hearing is that a ton of thought went into this, like 10 years of thought went into this idea that if we invest in each other and we are together, then we will continue to want to be together and continue to build community and grow, which is incredible.
I mean, yeah, exactly. And you know, one of the, all those years that I was there, there were about five to seven directors that went through that timeline that I was a camper and staff. And almost every single one of them were no longer around. They got burnt out. And, you know, for me, camp changed my life. Church changed my life. Community of Christ did that. And I didn't want to be that guy who directed and then get burnt out and I'm gone. And so one of the immediate things we did was we said, this can't be a director. This has to be a team-led effort. And so immediately we surrounded ourselves with a group of young people who are really bought into the concept. And it's been the philosophy for everything we do. It's shared leadership. It's a team concept.
Yeah, it actually reminds me of this quote from Mother Teresa, which I'm probably going to mess up, but it's something like, if we have no peace, it's because we've forgotten that we belong to each other. And it sounds like that might be kind of a little bit at the heart of what you're saying. We belong to each other. And if the health of one is poor, then the health of all is poor. And we need to help bring it together.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what an incredible story. That thank you for sharing where it got started, where this idea got started. So what happens in Community Place? Now you have this group of people, it's called, and you think of it like a camping congregation, you said?
Yeah, that was the original kind of idea, is how do we bring the camping congregation together beyond the camp? Because, it, you know, what we also found was a lot of these kids didn't have a home congregation. While their family did, originally, they weren't all that engaged in the congregational life. And so once camp was finished, you didn't see these kids till the following year. And so we wanted to change that. And what we also found is that the kids were the best inviters, the missionaries, if you want to use an old term, to say, hey, you know, I got this place where I feel this way. And so they immediately invite people to that. And we're saying, let's create that all year round. And that's what we're trying to do.
Right. So what does it look like now?
What does it look like now? Well, we meet every week. And so the idea was, at the beginning was, let's figure this out. And how do we do that? Well, we need to meet regular. And so, you know, we're talking about professional young adults here, people who have full-time jobs and kind of on their side. This is what they wanted to do. And so about 4 years ago, we started to meet in our home. And we haven't missed a Wednesday. Every Wednesday we get together, and at the first part it was like, okay, let's do potluck, and that became difficult because people would have to go home. Some got late, and you know, it was hard to prepare something and then come over and eat together. But we felt that eating together was important, and so what we've done now for the last 4 years is, and this happened this morning. Through text or Facebook, we're messaging each other saying, hey, what food ideas do we have for today? And, you know, we go Mexican or pasta or, you know, Thai food, whatever the idea is, we agree on it. And today we're going to have a pasta bar. And so one of the individuals goes to the grocery store and he buys all the ingredients for, you know, today we're probably going to have about 12 people coming today. And so, we prepare the food together. Around 6 o'clock, people gather here, and we each cook together as a group, and then we eat together, and it's just so powerful, Carla. And so it's become for us a model of any gathering that we have, and it goes something like this: so we eat together, we cook together, we eat together, and then we connect together. And the connection part, you know, it's a combination of the praying, dialogue, discussing scriptures or connecting through videos that we want to discuss together. And then we get down to business, planning events, developing the concept even further of community place, what new ideas, innovation. And so that's basically the model that we follow every week.
I love the idea of getting together and cooking together, because what I found in ministry that I've been a part of that does things like that, you know, like really important conversations happen when you're kind of engaged in something else. You know, I'm sure that the ministry starts the second you get your hands into that food and start to like cook it and be together. Like that to me is definitely an important part of the ministry. And it's just incredible, I'm sure, to watch it happen.
Well, you know, these ideas weren't just like we reinvented the wheel. It's in sitting down and kind of trying to put our heads together and brainstorm, we observe what our congregational experience has been in the good old days. You know, you talk to your parents and your grandparents and you listen to their stories and you try to figure out what's the essence there. And it was the community coming together, the potlucks, you know, the prayer and testimony services that they had. All these things were about sharing your highlights in your life, your struggles, all these things together. And we want to replicate that on a weekly basis. And so when we're preparing the food, you know, we're also busy, but this kind of brings us down and it gets us a minute to connect with one another and say, hey, how was your week? And you can complain about work or explain about the really awesome thing that's happening in your life. And, you know, again, it's just a reflection of what used to happen in congregation and still does in some congregations, but not for some of the people that we're trying to kind of reach.
Right. I mean, it's important to be in the congregation on a Sunday morning, I think, but that's not where real relationships are usually formed. Those real relationships with each other are formed maybe in the foyer after church when you get to say, hey, how's it going? Or those relationships are formed in the middle of the week when you meet for coffee. But yeah, when you're sitting in church on a Sunday morning, you have time to worship and be together, but you don't get to really form those relationships with people. And it sounds like this ministry is truly a blessing of community. I mean, you're finding those blessings within your own community. And I just, gosh, I really want to be part of it.
Well, the beautiful part is that everybody's included. And so we're always inviting people, whether locally here or abroad, to say, hey, yeah, you can certainly be part of a kind of a community place in whatever form suits you. Because one of the things that, you know, we can talk about some of the struggles later on, but one of the things that we found early on was fear. You know, this concept brought fear into people, saying, wait a minute, you're gonna take away from the congregations. And when we're saying, we're trying to do the opposite. What we were finding was the experience in congregations is that, at least in the immediate area here, is the people running the programs were maxed out. And when they, you know, the people say, well, why don't you run this program for, you know, my teenage daughter and my son, they want to do this. And the leaders of the congregation saying, you know, I'm maxed out. And so for us was also one of the things to do was, let's create resources. So everything we do, we template and we say, we want to provide this opportunity for any congregation that wants to partner with Community Place and say, we can help implement this and find champions within your congregations that could run this. Because one of the things we found with engaging people, our young people, is that we don't have to create something for them. They have ideas of what they want to do, and we just want to be able to provide resources and support and empower them to be able to do that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I really think that when people say, I want this ministry for my children, or I want this ministry for whatever, what they're really saying is, I just want a place to be heard, and I want a place to where I feel included and accepted for being just who I am. And once that need has been met, usually these other ideas that they have, which are probably good ideas, kind of go away because they feel like they're part of this community now. And so that's what I have found to be true. When I was a young adult minister in California, one of the most important ministries I think I offered was that I just listened. And just allowing people to be heard, really, I think, takes away a lot of that fear that you were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, within that fear, they're saying, well, you guys are a young adult ministry. And we're saying, you know, that's not our intention. Our intention, our goal is to be intergenerational. And when you see our gatherings, you see the diversity in age. What happens is there's this millennial mentality of change and experimenting and kind of doing things that really are meaningful in your life. And so I think that's the culture that we're grabbing onto. And because a lot of our leaders are young adults themselves, you know, back when we started, I guess I was in that realm as well. But like when you're a teenager and you get into your 20s and your 30s, while your body changes, your mind's still there and you're just a kid. And so we never want to be exclusive to just this one age group. It's whoever the ministry finds connection with that we want to be able to offer that to.
Yeah. Well, gosh, it sounds like a really awesome ministry. And so what is your very favorite part of Community Place?
You know, one of the reasons I'm involved, and I talked about shared leadership. The reason this thing is continuing to grow is because everybody owns it. You know, this is not mine. I'm just a part in it. And part of my job here as a full-time minister does deal with Community Place, but it's not simply mine. And so in going with that, one of my favorite things about it is when people come in and they finally find a place where they belong, and they get energized, and they themselves begin to contribute and own it. And so for me, that's really exciting because, you know, as I shared earlier, I give credit to where my life's at because of my experience in Community Christ. So God being in my life, Community Christ through the camping experience. If I didn't have that in my life, I'd probably just be another number. You know, I'd be one of those lost kids that didn't amount to anything, you know, maybe living an empty life. I don't know. You know, I'm generalizing there. But just from my own experience, I really want to provide this so that people can come in and hopefully experience kind of what I went through. And when I listen to the rest of the team members, they have similar experiences in Community Christ, and they want to do the same thing. And so that's one of my favorite parts. It's just being able to see people have a place where they belong.
Yeah. And what's really great is when you've grown up in the camping program and gone through some of those awesome experiences, you can now look back and say, well, this was really meaningful to me. This was really important to me. And I would imagine that it's important to other people. So you have all this experience that you can rely on and look back and say, you know what? If it was important to me to feel loved and belong, I bet it's important to so many others. So that kind of can help you shape this ministry that you're now providing for people.
Yeah. You know, going back to the numbers, when we started, you know, Tiona, we were expecting our first child. And that's one of the things we looked at to say, if we don't do something here, what's going to be there for our kids? And so while we had the small declining number, you know, now when we look around the Mission Center here, we see over 400 engaged young people in church in their own way. And so that's really exciting. You know, our kids now are 11 and 9 years old. We know that as they continue to grow within it, they're going to take the reins at some point and own it and be part of it. And that's exciting for us.
Well, there's no doubt. And it just really started with intentionality. It really started with a group of people saying, this is important and we're going to be intentional about this. And I think that's super exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
So what are some challenges that you've faced in the past with Community Place, or some challenges that you're currently facing?
Well, when we started, you know, it's about bandwidth as well. One of the things is bandwidth is trying to create something that doesn't exist requires a lot of time and energy.
Right.
And so the challenges is, how do you manage your personal life, your work life, and then still put the energy into this and not kind of burning out? And so we found that to be a challenge within the group. We fluctuated from 12 to 15 to 10, you know, we're in the 15 people mark where there's that many people engaged in developing new ministries within this concept. And so a challenge is always about time and energy. Another challenge was when you're creating something new, it's hard for people to understand what you're doing. And when they don't understand it, often fear is the initial reaction. And so at the beginning, especially, we were met with a lot of fear about how that's going to affect congregational life. And so we had a hard time getting people to understand it. And what we found, like the story I shared earlier about when you part of Community Christ and you go wherever you go, you feel part of that family. It's the same with Community Place. Community is the experience is one of the slogans we use that we say you really don't get it until you experience it. And so, you know, I'm inviting you, Carla, to be part of one of our gatherings, to join us for a flagship gathering, which happens in August, which is our camp. And so you really get immersed in it and get to know all the elements of it. Because one of the things that we understood early on was that we were dealing with the unchurched. And so that posed a specific challenge in that, you know, when you hear the concept of Christianity or your Christian group, people immediately put walls up. And so we wanted to create a safe place for the unchurched to come in and feel welcome and experience the love that we're talking about, the love of Jesus Christ, without the jargon that scares people. And so, you know, one of our core leaders who just actually got back from Thailand from a World Service Corps experience, she came as a 17-year-old who was invited by her friend who had been to camp. And just last year she got baptized, you know, 8 years later. And it was, that's kind of what we're looking at in the sense to, we want to be inviting to people so they can experience it, experience the love of God, the love of community of Christ, the love of this community. And once you experience it, you know, then you for yourself decide where you want to go with it as you mature in your faith journey. And so Alex is one of those individuals, and we have a few of those. But experiencing is really kind of what we're looking to do. And so as far part of the challenges is getting people to not judge us before they really get to experience to know what we are. Because even our name, you know, our name is Community Place, and one of the struggles people had was, but you're Community of Christ. Why don't you have the word Christ in it? And it's because we're very specific about it. There's a plan in place, and we feel it's important to be inclusive. You know, we're in Toronto here. We live in one of the most culturally diverse societies in the world. And so, you know, as Community Christ, we are inclusive to all. All are welcome. And Community Place is no different. And so that poses a challenge because, you know, what does it mean to be inclusive? And that challenges us. To be radically inclusive, it means to be able to invite your Muslim, your Jewish brother into community and be able to share with one another. And so those are some of the challenges and struggles that we run into for people to understand and experiment with us as to what does that look like? What does it look like to experiment on being inclusive, totally inclusive? So if Jesus was walking, it was part of our group, how inclusive would he be? And that's a challenge.
Right. I mean, the more you get into this, it sounds like the more you really have to look at yourself and see how truly inclusive you are. Like, we might be inclusive and say, yes, please, Muslims, Jewish people, everyone come. But if you're on a different part of the political spectrum, I'd prefer not to talk to you. You know, yeah. So you really have to look at where you're at. And you might be challenged yourself to get through some of these meetings to think, gosh, well, maybe I'm not as inclusive as I thought I was.
Yeah. And to invite him to not just join you and for a conversation, but to join you and be part of you. And so, you know, being part of the leadership team and giving them free range to come up with the next idea of what ministry are we kind of involved in. And what if it's an atheist doing that? You know, that poses a challenge for people. But if you know, if we're all part of the same message, you know, we have our enduring principles in Community Christ and our mission initiatives and in Community Place, we align all those so that we're part of the collective, because we are a global church, global community, and so it poses a struggle.
It certainly does. And what I think I'm hearing you say is that, you know, trying to get people to come and see what it's like, because you don't really know how deep of a life you can live until you're living it. You know, for a long time, I didn't realize that I was living a life that was pretty shallow, where I only really cared about myself, where I didn't really look outside myself and what other people were going through. But when I did, my life just opened up. And that's scary. It's scary to be vulnerable. It's scary to say, okay, I'm ready to listen to you and to allow you to be a part of who I am. Because what if we don't like what we find, you know? But that's what's important. That's how relationships are formed. So, wow.
And, you know, going along with the challenges, some things that we do haven't been done before. So it's not like we can say, okay, this group did it this way, how can we modify it? And so trying to come up with, you know, the how. And so you asked about, you know, what does it look like to gather in community place? So I talked about the Wednesday model, and we continue to evolve. So I'm talking to you now and telling you what it is, what community place looks like. But if we have a conversation next year, you know, it's gonna look slightly different, because we're a growing community. We're growing partnerships in Australia and Oklahoma. Hawaii's coming on board, and so they add to the mix. And we look at, you know, what did they bring to the table, and how they change us as we change them, and we work together to continue to evolve in this community. One of the examples. We were meeting every Wednesday, and somebody said, you know, we do a lot of work. Is there a time where we just do the meal and we do the connection, but we skip the business? And that way we can invite more people and be part of that. And so we said, yeah, absolutely. So we came up with a Connection Wednesday. So the third Wednesday of the month is just that. And we experiment with different things. You know, we sometimes have a musician that comes in and performs, and we have a meal. We invite the neighbors in the community, the local community here, as well as the local community in the mission center. And we just try different things. You know, movie outside in the yard. And so we're just trying different things. And obviously, the online gathering, which happens to be one of our flagship projects, is, you know, how do we create a worshipful experience on a regular basis? And so originally we said, you know, we have this camping congregation that's not local. Well, you know, in the summer we come together for a week, but we're from all over the province here, and it's almost impossible to gather on a monthly basis. So we said, well, let's go online. And so we have the online gathering concept. And, you know, well, how do we do that? Well, let's go look back at our congregational experience. And, you know, the first Sunday of the month, we do communion. And we thought, you know, let's start with that. And so we started with the sacrament of communion. And so we thought, okay, no problem. Let's look to see what other congregations or other denominations are doing. And when we looked, nobody's ever done it. And so we're sitting there going, how do we do this? We have our people wanting to connect with us. They're so far away, and how do we do this? And when I say so far away, you know, we've had guest ministers come in or guest invitees, and they're from Australia or the U.S., but they're now part of our community because they bought onto it. And how do we bring them in? And so the online gathering was the concept we came up with. And we actually did the online communion for 6 months. And then the World Church kind of found out and got a little nervous about it. And so out of respect, because we're working together on how do we do this with making sure that we respect the history and heritage of our church while continuing to move forward. So we modified to call it a community meal. And so we do that. And it's as we explain the community meal concept, we go back to our roots, and you know, we're followers of Christ, and we often refer to that meal where Jesus was talking and sharing with his disciples and having that communion meal, and we go back to that. And so we're still kind of in conversations with world church leadership to figure out how do we address this? How do we provide the sacraments to our remote members across the world?
Oh, gosh, what an incredible ministry to be offered, because there are so many people who yearn for that kind of community but live so far away from any other Community of Christ people that they want to worship with. So what an awesome ministry that you're providing.
Thank you.
So you mentioned something a while ago, and I kind of want to jump back to it because I want you to get the chance to explain it. You mentioned something about a gathering in August of 2017 about a flagship something. What's that about?
Yeah. Well, we, you know, going back to the roots of the camp congregation, camp is once a year. It's 1 week a year, and it happens in August here in Canada East Mission Center. And so we've been doing that, and that still is kind of the hub of where we bring in the most people, brand new people, and have them experience what we're talking about. And then having them connected to Community Christ and Community Place, so that as they leave, they continue that relationship and they grow in their faith journey, whatever they're searching for. And what we found was we were having this great interest internationally. That in 2016 we launched our first, we call it MyCP, My International Community Place, and that came out of a need of leaders outside of Canada here saying, hey, you know, Alfredo, as you share the struggles you are having, we're also having those struggles. And how do you address them? And Carla, one of the really exciting things for me to talk about is how awesome it is now. You know, when I talk about over 400 young people being engaged on a regular basis with Community Christ through Community Place, I want that for that to be everywhere, but I don't want to disillusion people or mislead them, because for us it's been a 10-year journey of trying this and trying that, but we also want to make sure that we share everything we have, and so we template everything. And so this past year we created MyCP, and we want to be a four-year event, kind of like IYF. And World Conference, in the sense that it's not 4 years, but it's every few years, so that we can invite international partners and bring them in, so they can be exposed to the model and say, hey, can you make this work in your area? Would this work? Because if it can, we're completely behind you. We'll throw all the resources we have to support you in that. And so we found that Australia came on board about 2 or 3 years ago, and they've had success with it. They were able to implement the Community Place model with every youth gathering that they have, and they're finding a great deal of success with it. Oklahoma just launched Community Space, which is an online gathering that they have. Carla, one of the things I've been forgetting to mention is that, you know, this model worked for us here for our people here. You know, we have a specific culture, just like I'm sure there's a specific culture in Utah and Independence, Missouri, and all parts of the world have their own culture. And so we want to say, take the essence of the model and apply it in your own way to your needs. And so when we looked at Oklahoma, for example, you know, when you look at the people there, and obviously I'm generalizing, they're better versed, I should say, in their heritage of Community Christ than they are here. The kids that come into camp for us here, they don't know God. They don't understand the concept. They've never picked up a Bible and read a scripture in it. And so in order to meet the needs there, we need to have leaders in their own area adapting it for their own culture. And so in August in 2017, we're going to have camp again, and we're going to invite people. I'm inviting you, and I'm going to invite everybody I run into. And the mandate is there for all of us, part of that community, that we invite everywhere we meet to come and be part of this this great experience.
Yeah. So can you direct our listeners to somewhere to look up more information if they would like to?
Certainly. We have several areas, actually. We have a website, Community Place, and it's thecommunityplace.ca. And you should be able to find all the information there, not only just about the program, the camp, but all the programs that we run, a little bio of our leaders, and even the concept. And that continually is changing. And so if you go to the website, you'll be able to kind of see it there. We do have a Facebook group, Community Place Facebook group. So go on Facebook if you're on that, like it, or Twitter, and just kind of follow us and see what we're all about. And there's also Senior High Camp Camp Community Facebook group. And unfortunately, that's closed because it's simply for the people that that have gone to camp, and that also allows us to have a safe space to celebrate, you know, birthdays and sharing some personal concerns, because we're trying to provide avenues for people to have support when they don't have it locally. But you can also reach me, and we can have a conversation about how to get you involved. And, you know, I can be reached at my alfredo@communityofchrist.ca or alfredozelaya@me.com. And you can also find me on Facebook under those names. And I would love to get you connected to Community Place, to the camping community here, in whatever form you're looking for. One of the things, Carla, we found is that, you know, Community Christ does have a lot of congregations around the world. In Canada East, for example, here in Ontario, we have 40 congregations. And even within those 40 congregations, there's still areas where we're not having the coverage that's needed. And so we're trying to provide an avenue here online for people to connect remotely and be part of a community, an inclusive, loving community, because we all need that.
We definitely do. And thank you so much for all that information. So the website is thecommunityplace.ca, and then they can just rewind a little bit if they need to listen to all other ways to get a hold of you. And I know for a fact that you'd be thrilled to talk to people about it. So that makes me really excited that people can leave this podcast and say, hey, this sounds like something I'd really like to do, and have a way forward. So thank you so much for all that information.
My pleasure.
Now, Alfredo, as a bishop in Community Christ, I'm always interested in the money part. So how is this funded, and does it cost a lot, and or do people give for that? What does the funding look like?
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you mentioned it, because I do want to share this so that because we talked about collaboration, and we're always wanting to learn how can we improve, what else are people doing that we can adapt and improve our system. When we first started, that was one of the questions we asked ourselves, is, you know, to run all these programs, to do this ministry, you know, we're volunteering our time, but you still need money to do things, to rent facilities or buy food and do all those kind of things. And so originally when we created Community Place, we said we need financial support. And so we looked to the Mission Center for support, and they partner us up with one of the local congregations here, Willow, the Willow Congregation. And they're a kind of a home-based congregation, and their philosophy and our ideology and everything just kind of meshed together. You know, they're into experimenting different forms of spirituality, just thinking outside of the current box that exists. And so it was a perfect partnership. And so we put a budget together and a five-year plan and said, this is the kind of support we're looking for. And they committed to doing that. And ironically, this is the fifth year of that plan. And so our goal was to be, after 5 years, to be self-sufficient. And so we're on track with that. And one of the ways we were looking to do that is in Canada East here, or in Canada, the pre-authorized transfer, which is, you know, an automatic withdrawal from your bank on a monthly basis, is a great system that's been set up here. And a lot of people use it here. So we said we committed our leadership team to do that. And we asked all our individuals that participate within this community to consider joining that system. And we're asking for a minimum $20 a month donation. And so we've been doing that for our fifth year now. But our goal is to grow that number. And so, you know, we've been steadily climbing to reach our goals. And that's what we're looking to do, is to say, can we get 20, 30, 40 people contributing $20 a month to the program? And that's how we're funding it now. And we feel it's working really well. We just saw a world conference, the GoFund mission concept, and the Richard Betts, I believe, spearheaded a team to do that.
Yep.
So we're wanting to get on board with that, but we also know it's been established in the U.S., and we're working to see how it can be established in Canada so we can also get on board, because while time and energy is one of the limiting factors, funding is another one. And we have a lot of ministry ideas kind of on the shelf that we're waiting for the funding to happen so that we can go ahead and do those things. And currently, you know, we have the open invitation to congregations to partner with us. And so one of the ministries and goals that we have this coming year, a lot of congregations are experiencing, you know, as their members are getting older, they're not able to physically attend their congregational gatherings on a Sunday. So we're saying, you know, we have some expertise and some resources. Let's get your congregation online and be able to stream the gatherings on a Sunday, especially in the winters here in Canada. They can be sheltering in that you can't get to your congregation. And so we want to provide that. And in that partnership, we also ask the congregation, would you be willing to support our ministry so that we can continue to provide that for others? And that's kind of the model for now, Carla.
That is really good. And what I keep hearing you say, actually, I think I said this word and you haven't, is that you have been, and your team has been, intentional from the very beginning. And you were intentionally planning a budget. You said in 5 years we would be here. And,
yes.
And I'm sure that you kept checking along the way. Where are we year one, at year two, at year three? And you stuck with that plan and you were very intentional about sticking with it. And it sounded like it really worked out well for you and your team, which I think for me, intentionality is one of a way to understand the Spirit. When we are intentional about what we're doing and we're focused on what we're doing, that's when I feel the Spirit the most. So I think that's really cool to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of that, Carla, comes from the whole shared leadership model. You know, if it was me running this, if it was mine to run it by myself, it would have been dead long ago, because I wouldn't have thought of all the different elements that are required here. So when you have a diverse group of people, you know, we have, ministers within the group. We have some experienced older fellows, and so they all bring an element, you know, strong spirituality, some common sense thinking, and some excitement and innovation. And that comes with that collective of the community. And that's why we continue to say, when we invite people, you know, find out what they're willing to offer, because they always have something to add. And it allows them to create that ownership.
Yeah.
Otherwise we wouldn't have all the bases covered, so to speak.
That's right. And again, you're allowing people to invest their time and talent and treasure into something. And I think we all know that when people invest in something, they're more likely to stick with it and more likely to want it to grow and want it to get even better. And I'm so glad to hear you say the word common sense. Common sense is not my gift, but I'm so happy that it's somebody else's gift.
It's not mine either, Carla.
Ask Tiona. Oh, yes. Tiona has a lot of common sense. She's a brilliant lady. Well, gosh, you have just made me so excited about hearing about this ministry and about hearing about all the cool things that are happening. So, is there anything else that we missed that you want to talk about before I let you go?
Well, I guess, you know, I gave you this short kind of explanation of Community Place, even though it's taking some time. We spent so many hours just kind of designing it, discerning the process, you know, where is God calling us to be? And so you've gotten a kind of a short version, a condensed version. I would say if you're really interested, get involved. The last thing I guess I want to share is, you know, what are the things that we're looking forward to? This year I talked about the bringing congregations online. But one of the key elements of why we started this too is, you know, people kept complaining about the church. You know, we don't have a voice. They're doing this. I don't like that. And so we want to say, you know, part of ownership is having a voice and financially supporting it. And so we wanted to, the camping congregational model is about formalizing it so that those who don't have a home congregation can be part of this group and have a voice so that they can attend, you know, a world conference, a local conference, and share where they're at, you know, their experiences. We've had in the last few years, our church transform to be more inclusive. And that's because people have had a voice. And so that's one of the things that we're trying to be advocates for, a community place, is to say, come into community of Christ so that you can own it and have a voice and let community place be that vehicle. So we're in the process of trying to formalize our entity to become an official congregation so that we have people who God is calling them to live out their faith. And so we want to, you know, process those calls for them through this community. And we want them to have a voice, and so that they can also have a place that they can financially contribute to the church so that we can all do the ministry that we're doing. And it takes all. And so I guess that's the last thing I want to share is that what we're looking ahead to. And Hawaii is coming on board. So we're going to go there and see how we can work with the local leadership there and visualize their where God is calling them to be.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, well, first of all, it sounds like Community Place keeps becoming a reality in these beautiful places. Australia, Hawaii, Toronto. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've been the kind of the public figure for the group. And so that's kind of a good and bad thing because there's a misunderstanding that this is my program. And it really is the program of the group. But I have no complaints about my trips to Australia, I'll tell you that.
Oh, man. I do love those Australians. And I know that you say you have, you know, some... I guess I don't, maybe you wouldn't even call them challenges coming up, but you have some things coming up, and I have no doubt that in your shared leadership model and your team model that you guys will be able to handle it in the best way possible. Because what I've heard from you today is that this is a team that thinks deeply about where they're called to be. And any team that does that is a team that moves forward with God. And that's exactly the way you should be going. So I am really grateful to hear about your story and to hear about Community Place. And I really hope that we can get some listeners who are more interested in that. And again, just one more time, that website is thecommunityplace.ca, right?
Yes. And if you want kind of an immediate impact or experience, the first Wednesday of the month, we do an online gathering. And that's the kind of the worshipful connection experience that we have along with the community meal. So we would love for if you're intrigued by any of this, please join us. It is very different than your congregational gathering, but we need to be when we're doing this concept, and we find it engaging for everybody. So we invite you and love to have you as part of that.
Wonderful. So that's the first Wednesday of every month. And what time is it Toronto time? Do you guys meet?
Yeah, it's Eastern Standard Time, and that's 8 o'clock. Right. 8 to 9 o'clock. We try to package it within the hour like we do in the congregation, simply because, you know, we're all busy and we want to respect that. But it's long enough that we get to share and connect with one another. And it's so refreshing because we miss each other when we're not in community.
Of course. Of course. And it's always good to check in and see how people are doing and to worship with different and new people. That's always exciting. Well, Alfredo, thank you so, so much for being on the show, and thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. I know it hasn't always been an easy journey for you, and sometimes it's hard to share about some of the stuff, but I really appreciate hearing all the ins and outs and all of your struggles and all of your most favorite part of Community Place. It's been wonderful to listen to.
Awesome. Thanks, Carla, for giving me the opportunity to share. And as I said, for me, it's about bringing people in. So I'm really excited about the possibility that one or two of our listeners here will be curious enough to click on us and come and experience.
Oh, I definitely think so. Thanks again for being here.
Take care.
The views expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official views of the Latter-day Seekers team or of Community of Christ. The music has been provided by Ben Howington. You can find his music at mormonguitar.com.